Today's episode is being sponsored by Kingsley 1945 Watches. To check out the Kingsley 1945 collection, go to www.amitdevhonda.com and click on the Kingsley 1945 collection on the upper right-hand corner.
Okay, on with the show. On today's episode, I want to talk about why I would rather buy an Omega Seamaster Railmaster than an Rolex Explorer 1. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. What's going on there, watch fans? It's Amit Dev Honda, and welcome to my podcast. So today I want to talk about something that, I never thought I'd really talk about. I'm not, like, the biggest Omega fan in the world. I respect what they've done. Obviously, it's been in my life, more than half of my life, really. I mean, from a very small age, my family had a business, and we're one of the biggest Omega dealers in the country, so I'm very familiar with the brand, not just from a marketing standpoint, but from a selling standpoint, from a historic standpoint. I absolutely love their Speedmaster Moonwatch, and I never thought I'd really like another Omega as much. I mean, I've written about other Omega watches that, you know, I can respect or that I think are innovative or different, and I've never wanted to own any of them particularly, but I've always, you know, respected certain ones they've done from afar. And I have to say, this new Omega Seamaster Railmaster is really a breath of fresh air, especially when it comes to three-handed watches where you just have, you know, hours and minutes and a second hand. There's no date on this watch. The original one came out in 1957, and it was, you know, basically made for people on railroads. You know, they were exposed to high levels of magnetic fields, so the watch was anti-magnetic, and, you know, it's just, it's like the alternative to the Rolex Milgauss. And I got to tell you, it's like a Milgauss and an Explorer 1, but better in so many ways. For starters, it's 40 millimeters. The current Explorer 1 is 39 millimeters. It has all four Arabic numerals of 12, 3, 6, and 9, where the Explorer 1 has only the 3, 6, and 9, which, you know, is cool, but I always kind of, I mean, it has its own icon, and obviously Rolex is a much, when you think of brand and you think of prestige and you think of holding its value, it's about that. This is one of these watches that I have to say, when I'm buying this, I'm not looking at it holding its value. I'm looking at it from a practical standpoint of wearability, usability, legibility, you know, having vintage aspects from, you know, their past. This combines both. Like, it combines modernity and, you know, inspired by vintage in a very, very cool and unique and, I'd say, amazing way. The bracelet is a very, you know, it's the typical, you know, Omega version of the Oyster bracelet. It's very solid in construction. Omega makes one of the best bracelets on the market. Also, you know, the movement is amazing as well. It's in-house coaxial escapement movement. That's like one of the best movements Omega makes in their arsenal. So for them to put that in this watch, and it's anti-magnetic and it's very water resistant. The best part of this watch for me personally is that on the case and the bracelet and the bezel, there are no mirrored or polished surfaces. Everything has a brush finish. The only thing that's polished are the hands on the watch. They're slightly polished, so you get that little glimmer of light. It makes it easier to read. Also, the numerals are, you know, they're white. They're not applied the way they're, you know, it's they're printed, but, you know, it's, I like it way better because of the symmetry. And it also has that lollipop hand, that lollipop second hand. The Super Luminova and the indices, there's 12 indices all the way around. They're treated in that Super Luminova that looks very much like radium at that time. It's almost an exact match of the way that radium aged, bringing the dial, like just bringing those warm tones out of the dial, making that black dial look sort of grayish and, You know, even the dial is sort of, you know, sanded, and it has these vertical stripes, and they're very cool. When you look up closer at the watch, you really realize how much detail is on this watch. You know, and the crystal is domed, and it has a solid case back, and it's just, in every way, shape, and form, so much better to me than a current Rolex Explorer 1. Now, when you look at the price point, I mean, that says it all. You know, the price point, it comes on this, you know, hand, this sort of nylon-coated strap, leather strap. It's actually very cool. It's like a gray, I believe, or a black color with, you know, contrasting stitching. The version on the strap goes for $4,900. The version on the bracelet goes for $5,100. A Rolex Explorer 1 is $6,500 or $6,550, something like that currently. So when you look at the you know, especially the proposition value, I mean, I don't have enough good things to say about this watch. And it completely took me by surprise because generally, you know, Omega does some interesting things, but they've charged a lot of money for their watches in the past. And when you look at every angle of this watch, what you're getting, it's just like value, value, value. It just screams value. And for me, you know, sometimes once in a great while, that's huge, you know? I mean, listen, Omega is a discounted brand. You can get Omega discounts. The reception to this watch has just been phenomenal by the press, you know, collectors and the like. And, you know, it's one of those, it's like having an Audi versus a BMW, you know, it's like, it's a sleeper. It's one of those things that's got so much under the hood and so much great detail. And it's for that guy who doesn't want the screaming Explorer 1 that's known for, you know, I mean, not to take away from the Explorer 1. I had an Explorer 1 and I loved it. You know, it served me well. It was, you know, really played into that. You know, like my first watch was an Air King. It didn't have a date. It was symmetric. That was 34 millimeters. This is back in the day, like in the 90s. And then, you know, when I got my Explorer 1, it was 36 millimeter. It was one of those watches that was really iconic and, you know, had a lot of historical relevance and I had to have one. But I don't know, even like the current Explorer 1, it's just, I look at it, it's nice. I mean, to me, this feels like this new Omega Seamaster, Railmaster feels like more like a vintage Explorer 1, you know, if they had completed it with the Arabic numeral 12, you know, like it feels like that, but much more solid in a way. It has a lot more detail on it, you know, not that Rolex isn't a detailed brand, but Omega really went all out on this watch. It has all the characteristics and traits that I love, and it's simple, and it's clean, and it's easy to read, and it's timeless, and it's a perfect size at 40 millimeters, and, you know, when you and I believe it also comes on the silver dial, but when you look at the dial execution, it's like a marvel. It really needs to be noticed, and people really should, I honestly write more about this watch because it's just phenomenal. I can definitely help you get one at a better price and no tax, depending on where you live, from an authorized Omega retailer. You can contact me at amitdavehonda@gmail.com. I do work on a $150 consultation fee to get started. That gets you an hour of my time, a couple of calls, some emails. And if you buy a watch from me, I deduct the $150 from the final purchase price of the watch. So you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Check me out on my social media. My Twitter and my Instagram handles are @AmitDaveHonda. And until next time, rock on and fly back.